College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that lion boy's on the right page. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Yeah,
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio
101.9 FM,
the Fan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. McMonagle here with you on the Fan 102. Now, I got you for 5 hours. It's not a midnight ride, but it is a 5-hour ride as we're taking you all the way to 6 straight to the morning show. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We got Big Zoo on the other side. And we're taking your calls here on the Fan for the next 5 hours as we take you to the warm-up show at 6. I'm looking forward to talking to you in the 5 o'clock hour. Yeah. We'll have to have a little bit of fun. We'll do some weird things that the warm-up show normally does. I'll tackle the poop cruise and everything else. Spike Eskin. We'll get to all of it throughout the morning. We'll get to Mike Brown, which, again, the New York Knicks continue to bother me with everything they do since the minute they lost to the Indiana Pacers. They still bother me, but we'll get to that. But let's talk with the baseball teams because, obviously, we're in the middle of it. And I know, you know, Spike Eskin and the idea of the Mets and their home record, we'll get to that. We'll have a little fun with it. But right now, the Mets are in a better place than the New York Yankees. Coming off 2 consecutive series wins, they get ready for a lousy Baltimore team. And this week leading into the All-Star break is massively important. And specifically here, and we'll get to the Mets, but specifically for the New York Yankees. As the New York Yankees watched last night, the Toronto Blue Jays win their 9th consecutive game. And a team that was up by 7 games in what felt like 2 days ago. And what was realistically, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, 7 games has turned into a 3.5-game deficit to a red-hot Toronto Blue Jays team. Now, I know I call them frauds, and I am yet to believe that this Blue Jays team can make it to the end. And I will still tell you, as disappointed as I am with the New York Yankees, as frustrated as I am, as concerned about the bullpen, as concerned about everything, I still believe, as we get to this trade deadline, that the New York Yankees are more than capable of still winning this division. That's right. Still capable of winning this division. But these two series coming up at home, coming off of finally getting a win and ending that losing streak and going into a series against a Seattle Mariners team that just shut out the Pittsburgh Pirates for 3 straight games, and then going to take on a Chicago Cubs team that's one of the best in the American League, while the White Sox are playing Toronto. The Toronto Blue Jays are taking on the White Sox, while the New York Yankees are taking on Seattle, and then the Cubs at home leading into the All-Star break. And while I will tell you that I still believe that the Yankees are capable of winning the division, I still believe that the back end of the bullpen in Williams and Weaver can find themselves and that they're not going to be as terrible as they've been over the last week. I still believe that Jonathan Loaisiga can be much better. And I still believe in this offense that has woken up along with its captain Aaron Judge that they are capable of being in the same spot they were last year back in the World Series. And we'll get to the trade deadline and the question that surrounds this trade deadline now as I see it. But this team is still capable, but these 6 games, because by no means is it over at 3.5, But while the Toronto Blue Jays are playing great baseball right now, and you can't argue it, and you look around the American League, and here's another conversation about the American League. You look at the Tigers, you look at the Astros, you look at what Toronto is doing right now. This American League, while we could say it's not as good as the National League, and we've been saying it forever, there are teams that are threats in the American League. There is no doubt about it. Detroit's better than they were last year, and they're better than any team in their division last year. They're better than the Royals. They're better than the Guardians were last year. The Astros, clearly one of those teams that consistently play well. They're still missing Alvarez and yet winning. Their pitching, Brown, is incredible and has the best ERA in all of baseball. There is real threats in the American League. This is not a cakewalk. And I don't know how many games you can fall behind. I don't know how deep this skid can go before I do believe the Yankees will find themselves. Because as much as there is a track record of having this miserable stretch in the middle of the season, outside of 23, there is a when the roster was really terrible, and Calhoun and I know right now we're all very upset with the New York Yankees, and I'm just as mad as anybody. This team is far better than the 23 bunch, especially when Judge wasn't playing. This team is much better than Franchi Cordero. This team is much better than Willie Calhoun. This team is much better than that team was in 23. And outside of that team, which lost Judge for how many games, yes, they go through swoons, but yes, they managed to find themselves and get into the postseason and win divisions. And I still believe the Yankees are that kind of team that can do that. As frustrated as I am right now, and as many holes as they have, and as important as this trade deadline is, they can still do that. But this week cannot be what it's been the last three. They don't have to go out and sweep. They don't have to go out and win all six. But they've got to find a way to stabilize themselves heading into the All-Star break, which they need desperately. They cannot have another, like, this is the time. This off day, the New York Yankees need to look themselves in the mirror. And I understand I'll push back on the narrative of flipping tables and yelling and holding players accountable, and we'll get to it. We'll talk about managers today at 888-808-1019. Ken Rosenthal did a podcast and talked about, you know, Aaron Boone being fired and the messaging of Aaron Boone and the issue with the New York Yankees and how you look across baseball. Right now, the Cleveland Guardians, who last year were in the ALCS, have just lost 10 in a row. Vogt was the manager of the year last year. They won tonight, so they've now won one of the last 11. Nobody criticizes their players. It is a different era of baseball. This is not what you are. This is not going back to the 70s and 80s and 90s where, you know, teams were, you know, managers would scream at everybody. Let's be honest, Joe Torre didn't do that either. Like, it's been a long time since Earl Weaver and since Billy Martin. It's a different era of baseball. But that doesn't mean that this team that has been talking about how good they are and talking about how everything will be fine and talking about how it's just a matter of when they find themselves and this is part of baseball and this is what happens. They even need to understand that it's one thing to have that conversation when you're a game up, when you're five games up, when you're blowing the division lead. Now you're 3.5 back and you are a bad week away from finding yourself 6 to 7 games out of this division with the opponents that the Blue Jays are playing right now. That cannot happen. That cannot happen. And they need to understand how important these games are. They need to understand the urgency in which they need to play this homestand. And to me, it starts with the idea of playing Jazz, who has a sore shoulder. And if you follow me on Twitter, I'm in a battle right now with the idea that the Yankees are at fault for the sore shoulder, which, again, I listened a little bit to Marash. We'll get into some of the stuff he had to say about Dominguez, because the idea that Dominguez would be a great center fielder is just stupid. But we'll get to that later in the show. But, like, the Yankees didn't cause Jazz Chisholm to have a sore shoulder. It's not, he played a position, they asked him to play third base last year for half the damn season, and he was terrific at it. But now it needs to end. Because whether it's their fault or not, and I guess we could have differing opinions on it, he does have a sore shoulder, and it's clearly hampering his throws. It's time to end this nonsense, get him off third base. It's time to put the best team on the field every single day, and it is time to attack the rest of this week and the rest of this month leading into the trade deadline with a sense of urgency that they haven't had over the last 3 weeks. That's just a matter of fact. And that doesn't have to come with how they speak to the media. It doesn't have to be how Boone talks to us. It doesn't have to be how he talks to John Boy. It doesn't have to be what he says publicly inside that room. This team, with a strong veteran presence, from Aaron Judge to Goldschmidt to Bellinger to Giancarlo Stanton, who's taking a leadership role with this team, they need to understand, as they're watching the Toronto Blue Jays dominate the dregs of the American League, that these six games are hugely important. And as you lead into a trade deadline, which, without question, the New York Yankees should not be selling. I did this yesterday. There is no doubt in my mind, if you think the Yankees should give up on this year, you're out of your mind. Every move that is made in this offseason, at this trade deadline, rather, needs to be predicated on making this particular team the best it can be. You have Aaron Judge in his prime. He's having one of the great seasons he's ever had. You've got Max Fried, first year of an 8-year contract, which again, with starting pitchers, we all know how they will probably end. You've got a down American League while there are still threats in it, as I just pointed out earlier. This is the time to go out and win a championship. That is still on the table, despite how you may feel. And the Yankees need to treat it as such. There is a conversation about how deep you go and what Brian Cashman is willing to do, and I want to have that conversation because many of you call him a prospect hugger. Many of you say he's never willing to move the big-time prospects. He should have moved Peraza. He should have moved Anthony Volpe. He should have moved this one. He should have moved that one. He waits until their value is dead. I don't understand. Well, here we go. As we approach a trade deadline that could have some big names in it that we don't know yet, as much as we poo-poo the idea of this trade deadline becoming huge, I just mentioned the Cleveland Guardians. Me and Zoo were having a conversation about it. Not that they would ever necessarily trade Jose Ramirez to the New York Yankees, but players like that on teams we don't expect may become available. And as you scream, he never trades Volpe, he never traded this one, he never moved on from that one, he waited too long for this one, he prospect hugs. Are you prepared to trade a Jason Dominguez? Are you prepared to trade a George Lombard? Are you prepared to trade a Spencer Jones, who's absolutely killing it right now in AAA? Because I brought this subject up a couple weeks ago. Those names for me, right? As much as I'm not going to do it for a rental, or I'm not going to do it for a relief pitcher, or I'm not going to do it for anyone like a McMahon or, you know, out of Colorado. Are you willing to make big-time moves? Are you looking to shop some of your bigger prospects? What do we feel about this team, and are you willing to try and chase a championship by trading some of the bigger prospects? Because let's be honest, the Yankees have enough as far as minor league depth to go get a reliever, to go get a Cabrian Hayes, or to go get McMahon out of Colorado to get a serviceable third baseman that would change the dynamic of the team. Every team almost does. Not, those guys aren't going to call for major, major prospects. But the Yankees have two top prospects. And they have Jason Dominguez. And we'll get into the how they're handling Jason Dominguez and how it makes me laugh. Are we not happy with how Jason Dominguez is playing? I feel like Jason Dominguez is coming on very nicely. I'm very excited about what Jason Dominguez could be, and yet it's always, well, if only he played every day, he'd probably be the best player in baseball, I suppose. It's never that, you know, when Anthony Volpe struggles, they play him too much. So Anthony Volpe, oh, they play him every day, it's ridiculous. Oh, Jason Dominguez, they don't play him every day, it's ridiculous. Maybe you're getting the best out of Jason Dominguez because you have taken him slowly. Maybe you're getting the best out of Jason Dominguez because you haven't thrusted him right into the leadoff spot. Maybe you're getting the best of Jason Dominguez because of precisely how they're handling him. But are you willing to move him? Are you willing to make the big-time trades to impact this roster, to go out there and give yourself the best chance? Because all we care about is championships. All we care about is we haven't won since 09. Right now, with Aaron Judge, with Fried, with this team, who knows what Aaron Judge is next year or the year after that or the year after that. This is as good a chance inside this American League is to win a championship as you have. These are the years to go out and try and do it. Or should Brian Cashman prospect hug and not trade top prospects for big-time players because this team isn't good enough? And then down the line, we'll kill him because he's a prospect hugger. These are the questions this team is now facing as they head into this July trade deadline. But the question is not whether or not they should sell, because that's ridiculous. The point is, right now, 3.5 back, the Yankees can no longer talk about how good they are. They can no longer talk about anything other than how important the rest of this month is and how you cannot allow yourself to fall 5, 6, 7 games back of a division that you desperately need to win. And while the Toronto Blue Jays have just won 9 in a row and are now taking on the worst teams in, you know, the American League, the Yankees set their sights on a Seattle team that has an excellent pitching staff and a Cubs team that scored more runs than any team in baseball. This is a massive week starting tonight at Yankee Stadium for the New York Yankees, and in the midst of having a pitching crisis. Max Fried's only going to pitch once in these six games. And he's the only starter you absolutely trust at the moment. This bullpen is in complete disarray. I know they got a day off, but since coming back from injury, Weaver's been terrible. I don't know if you can trust Devin Williams. Jonathan Loaisiga continues to come in and have innings that seem like he's snake bit, but when it happens time and time again, it's hard to continue to call it that. You've got no Cruz. Leiter's been overworked and bad as of late. Hamilton is a shell of himself. Like, there is not a name in that bullpen that you feel confident about. There is not a starter outside of Max Fried you feel good about, and they're heading into the biggest 6-game stretch of the season at home against 2 really good playoff caliber teams, while the Toronto Blue Jays, with a 3.5 game lead, are playing the White Sox. It's got to start tonight. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So we'll get to some of the ideas about how this trade deadline should be handled. We'll get into the Mets, obviously, and they take on the Baltimore Orioles. And obviously, still, while the Phillies are ahead in the division, these are important games for the New York Mets. We'll get to something Lindor said that is the cliche that usually pisses off fans, at least pisses off Yankee fans. We'll see how it affects the New York Met fan. We'll get into the idea they're cheating at home that is being perpetrated by a former WFAN program director who's now out in Philadelphia. So we'll get to all of that. We'll get to how the Knicks continue to piss me off every single day. And we'll take your calls along the way as we take you all the way straight to the morning show at 6 a.m. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll be right back after this. I was actually talking to a troll on Twitter who said, I'm yelling too much for the middle of the morning. He has to go to YouTube. And I suggested, if you ever want to go to YouTube, don't do it now because you should listen to me. Don't listen to that idiot. But I always, for whatever reason, when I'm bored sometimes on YouTube, when I make my kids get off it, and then I'm like, oh, well, it's on. Greatest acting scenes of all time. I don't know why. I Google that a lot. There's like a whole bunch of lists and great little acting scenes. And obviously the Al Pacino final court scene in The Scent of a Woman is a classic. I'm just getting warmed up. And Trent, wherever you are, F you too.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When the bow breaks, the cradle will fall, and it has fallen here today. That's such a classic. 888-808-1019, then in the dark scene, too. I'm in the dark here! That probably, as great as Al Pacino is in so many different performances, Scent of a Woman's probably my favorite. He's tremendous in that movie. 888-808-1019. We'll get to movies, too. I'll talk to Big Zoo maybe a little bit about, because you're a comic book Superman guy. Have we had the conversation about Superman?
We have not.
Oh, we haven't? Okay. I thought you were on with me that day when we talked about the idea that I can't get over that there's the dog in it. And it's just, have you seen the coming attraction for the Superman
We may
movie?
Have spoken about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I don't though. Know, but like, I don't know. When I see the dog, I'm like, there's a super dog? I know it's in the comic books, but it just seems silly to me. But now there's a whole new controversy around Superman. But we'll get to that as well at some point over. When we have these five-hour shows, we have a little fun with them. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. Let's get to Jason in Waterbury. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's good, Chris? Always good to talk to you, bro.
What's going on, bro?
Not much. Listen, my dad, he loves Son of a Woman. That's an all-time classic. Mm-hmm. That great, great iconic scenes. But listen, I hate to do this to you, Chris, because, you know, like I said, I love you, but I listen to Mike Francesa podcast, because, you know, Mike's the greatest, him and Dog, and he always says at the end of the day about accountability about when it comes to the Yankees, and he's 100% right, and he always says something that I don't know why you never get it, but at the end of the season, the Yankees and Hal Steinbrenner care about one thing, and that's they make the playoffs, it's a crapshoot, and they get people in the stands in the Bronx, and that's all he cares about, and that's all he's ever going to care about, and that's why this team doesn't trade for big stars. This team needs a big star in the worst way. Now, I don't know if Jose Ramirez is the guy.
How could you say they don't trade for big stars when they traded for Juan Soto last year?
Like, yeah, you know why they did it? They did it for 1 year to appease the fan base because the fan base
wants to get Juan Soto for the most part. You only get stars for 1 year. They offered him $760 million.
Did they re-sign
him? They offered him $760 million.
Yeah, but was that good enough?
No.
Because it was never going to be good enough. They were never going to write that check.
Oh, come on.
They were never going to write the check. Mr. Steinbrenner was never going to write. Stop. He's not his dad. And this team, Cashman and Boone, they should be out on their ass. Mm-hmm. They should be. And they need to go out and they need to get star players in this place. And that's the only way that this team is going to succeed. Now, if I were the Yankees, I would hold on to Dominguez. Mm-hmm. But Lombardi and Spencer Jones would be out of here. They would be out of here immediately. For Jose Ramirez, Eugenio Suarez, and they need pitching in the worst way. How's this team going to compete for a championship? Listen, they weren't good enough. Even if they had pull this year, they weren't good enough. And unless they go out and get a star ace, and like I said, Eugenio Suarez or Jose Ramirez, this team's not going to be able to even compete with the Tigers. And these people always talk about firing Boone and Cashman. I don't know why people call and ask that or say that, because this team is never firing Cashman and Boone, because Hal just wants to hide and put Cashman in front so he can complain like he always does. Like the sorry, I can't even say it because it's that bad, but yeah, Cashman, he's a disgrace. And he needs to be out, and Hal will never do it because he's gutless. Mm-hmm. And he knows at the end of the year, the billions that this team makes, and these guys can't even go out and pay a third baseman to come, or you can't even go out and pay a third baseman. You're going to tell the fans that you're worried about the books. Arenado, I know he's not the same player anymore, but guess what? Him at third base, you'd still have Jazz playing second base, and he wouldn't have a sore shoulder, and you'd have a legitimate third baseman, even though, like I said, Arenado, he's not the same player. But
I get
you know
it.
What?
That's fine. Better. And then in 2 years, you're going to be screaming about how Cashman's terrible for having $25 million on the books for Arenado, and he's an absolute bum. Then you'd be screaming about, how is Arenado still on this team? I don't understand it. He's an absolute bum. Why would they make that trade? That trade was hideous. They didn't even win the World Series the year they traded for him. I don't understand. Just like we get DJ LeMahieu now. At the time, we all would have went absolutely ape crap if he didn't sign DJ LeMahieu off of a finish, a third runner-up MVP season and back to, and a batting title. We would have went absolutely nuts he didn't sign him. Now it's, oh my God, how could you be so stupid to sign DJ LeMahieu? I get it. Look, they haven't won. And again, the accountability thing, it's not the same anymore. We can talk about it like we expect it. And the idea that if Aaron Boone went and said, you guys suck, this is atrocious play, it's unacceptable, you're freaking terrible, and I'm tired of it. Like, they'll go out and go, oh, crap, Aaron Boone means it. Let's go play better, fellas. I know we've just been hanging out, having fun, but, you know, let's go actually really try and go play baseball. I mean, I know we built up the second best record in the American League for the first 70 games of the year, but now we only cared about winning then. Now we don't care about winning, and I guess this is enough of this. The manager's fine. Like, I don't buy it. Like, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. I think accountability has become like the NFL, the MLB's version of the NFL's offensive line. I think it's just a word we say. I'll be totally honest with you. I think it's just a word we say. What do you want? What's accountability? Benching everybody? Firing everybody? And the idea how the winning is, like, you can't predict, you can't guarantee winning. Like, I screamed all offseason, that you need a third baseman. I'm totally with you. Hal, for me, has been hesitant at times when he's one move away from going out and making that move. I totally agree. But George, and the idea, oh, he's not his father. George Steinbrenner went out. What happened? Let's be totally honest. When the Yankees were their dynasty, it was built by Gene Stickmichael when he was banished for digging up dirt on his star player. After he lowballed Don Mattingly, after he tried to dig up dirt on Dave Winfield, and was just because he wasn't happy with how he performed in May, trying to hold Dave Winfield accountable, of course. Trying to hold Dave Winfield accountable by hiring a sleazy guy to dig up dirt on him, holding him accountable. And then was suspended for that. And then while he was away and couldn't trade Bernie Williams and couldn't trade Mariano Rivera and couldn't trade, you know, Derek Jeter, although he desperately wanted to at the start of 96, the team was built. They won all their championships, and then what happened after 01? They went out and spent a bunch of money. They brought in Jason Giambi. They went out and traded for Alex Rodriguez. They spent all this money. How many championships did they win? How many championships did Jason Giambi win with that big contract? How much money did he spend in the 80s? George Steinbrenner was out there trying, absolutely firing manager after firing manager after firing manager. It went real well. It went real well during the 80s and the early 90s. It went real well. When they had Mel Hall, you know, bringing in Cougars and bringing his 16-year-old girlfriend to team events. It was a smashing success. Like, we don't talk about this stuff because, you know, we want to cherish the memory. And listen, he belongs in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the great owners. I'm not knocking him, but, like, the idea that the Yankees never saw failure with George Steinbrenner is laughable. And that heads would have rolled. Sure, heads would have rolled. Absolutely, heads would have rolled. Yogi Berra got fired 18 games into the season. How'd that go? How many times did Billy Martin manage the Yankees? What was it, 13, 14 times? That was never embarrassing. We never had a problem with that. It wasn't like the entire Yankee Stadium stood up and had a standing ovation when it was announced that he was being suspended from baseball. Hal is not his father. That is true. Doesn't mean you can't win. is the owner of the Houston Astros desperate for winning like George Steinbrenner was? Is that why they win? Now, right now, the Dodgers absolutely are. Got to give it to the Dodgers. Dodgers go out there and spend all their money. You know, they have a lot more money than Hal. They have money from other sources than from Hal. No doubt about it. And the contract for Ohtani is making them a ton of money. And so now they're willing to go out there and just, you know, while they're making all this money from Ohtani, they're going to try and win as many championships as they can until either the new bargaining agreement a year or until Ohtani's contract runs up. And they've just lost four in a row. They got, you know, they just lost four in a row. Now, they're a very good team. And I totally agree that Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman did not go out and get a third baseman. I screamed about it all offseason. Totally agree. Now, I do think the Oswaldo Cabrera injury hurt them. They would have Oswaldo Cabrera. Now, he is not an all-time great player or someone I would have felt really comfortable playing third base, but it'd be a hell of a lot better than DJ LeMay. It'd be a hell of a lot better than the crap they have right now with Jazz and DJ LeMayu. Totally agree. And listen, the Jazz thing, I had no problem. Look, you look at his numbers from last year defensively, he was a +8 run saved. And that was in half a season. You could argue, if you look at his numbers, one could argue the best defense he's ever played in his career was third base for the New York Yankees last year. That's how the numbers look. Now, I'm not saying numbers are everything, and defensive numbers in particular are hard to really navigate and get a good feel for. I'll be the first to tell you, because as Yankee fans, we know every single metric and defensive number had Derek Jeter as a terrible shortstop. And I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what the numbers are. And we all know his range was limited, especially up the middle later in his career. But the idea that he was a bad defensive shortstop is asinine. Gold Glove winner? Maybe he won one of those Gold Gloves on reputation. But a bad, one of the worst in the league? Sorry, that's ridiculous. So I'll be the first to tell you that numbers aren't everything, especially defensively. But the numbers tell you that Jazz was better at third base last year for the Yankees than he's ever been anywhere ever. The idea wasn't terrible, but since he hurt his shoulder, or since we've watched him play, it makes no sense to continue to do it. Totally agree. I am fully on board. I've been screaming about it. You can't watch this and continue to throw it out. I'm hoping he's at second base tomorrow or later today. I doubt it, and I'm not sure why they're being so stubborn. I agree, but again, as Mike, and I'll give it credit, Michael Kay said it today. I saw a video of it. He's 100% right. We scream and we scream and we scream. Again, they were in the World Series last year. That's some sort of like crazy statement to say. Who cares about being in the World Series, Chris? Like, oh, they were in the World Series last year. And we're talking about these three weeks like they're a joke. Cashman's a joke. It's an embarrassment. Aaron Boone never holds anybody accountable. They went through the same swoon last year and got to the World Series. He must have done something right. He pulled them out of it and got them to the World Series. But nobody cares about that part. We only care about the slump they were in. We don't care that they figured their way out of it, stabilized themselves, and got to the World Series. That's insignificant. I don't know why. I don't know why. And Hal wants to win. He could have went out and got a third baseman, totally should have, but he spends $300 million. They do have stars on this team. They have the best hitter arguably the best right-handed hitter ever. Like, that's the argument. He's arguably one of the greatest right-handed hitters of all time that they drafted and developed. And if he hit in the World Series, they might have a championship right now. If Aaron Judge did what Corey Seager did in 23, they might have a championship right now. If Aaron Judge did what Jorge Soler and Jacques Peterson did in 21, they might have a championship right now. I've said this a lot. You can disagree with it. A general manager can only build a team for the 162. You can't build a team with the idea. Like, you can have, like, you can have a team that you've built for the 162 and then see weaknesses that you'll need to bolster for a World Series run or a championship run. Absolutely. But for the most part, like, building your lineup, you can only fill it with so many good players and hope they perform. That's it. Like, what, you want to build it with a bunch of Punch and Judy hitters who hit 270 and put the ball in play? You think that's a guaranteed way to win a championship? You got to get to the playoffs first, and if nobody's driving in runs, good luck. This offense was the best offense in the American League for the first 70 games. They need to get back to doing that, and they have started over the last week. Now the pitching staff is falling apart. They have lost Clark Schmidt. They have lost Gerrit Cole. They have not had Luis Gil all season long. And they do have the deadline to go impact third base. And
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Starting rotation, I don't know. But they're going to try and get bullpen arms. They're going to get a third baseman. And hopefully move Jazz to second base. John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
Yeah, see, Mac. You know, I think we're stuck at third base with what we got. You know, because if you look at it, we got the guys that are going to be available. Arenado is not worth the money. Eugenio Suarez is worth it, but there's going to be too many teams out there that are going to try to get him. And our farm system isn't the best in the world.
It's not the best in the league, but again,
we're going to be outbid.
Yeah, I mean, we'll
be outbid.
I don't know about that. What, you know, I mean, what forms? You got to ask yourself this, though. What team is more desperate than Brian Cashman, the Yankees? What team is desperate necessarily for a third baseman and willing to trade those prospects for a third baseman? Like, we'll see. Like, it's easy to just say that. You could look at it and go, where's their farm system rank? Absolutely. But are there teams willing to trade their top prospects for a rental third baseman? Like, you know, I don't know.
There's teams that will trade their top prospects for a rental DH. You know, they can put them as a DH. You know, but
we'll see.
And if you look at McMahon and Hayes, you know, McMahon's just a product of a Coors Field. His OPS on the road is like 660.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Hayes, his OPS for the last 4 years is also 660. Yeah, they got good defense, but why pay, you know, $30 million over the next 2, 3, 4 years?
Yep.
Just for good defense when you got that in Peraza anyway.
They are far better than Peraza. Peraza is one of the worst hitters in all of baseball. I mean, they're better than Peraza. And let's be honest, you gotta hope. You would think that it's very difficult to go be successful in an organization like the Colorado Rockies. Like, you would think you're hoping you could bring a guy in here, and we've seen it before. We've seen it before. You want to talk about what was Gio Urshela's numbers before he came to the New York Yankees? What was Luke Voit's numbers before he came to the New York Yankees? Sometimes you got to you got to bring somebody in here and hope you get
a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, I mean, well, again, you want to start with Suarez, but I'm saying is you can't just dismiss getting an improvement. I'm not saying you trade Lombard for him. I'm not saying you trade Spencer Jones for him, but you can go out there and get. Cabrian Hayes would be an improvement to this team. Like, and then again, we don't know. He just killed the Mets for a series. What if he gets into an ALCS and gets hot? Is that impossible? Because I've seen it. We've seen it. I've just been talking about it. Like, you know, Steve Pierce won the World Series MVP. Who the hell is Steve Pierce?
Yeah. See, Mac, I have a question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Now, obviously, in your monologue, you said these Knicks. Six games are going to mean a lot.
They're important.
Seattle and the Cubs.
Yes.
But when we come back from the All-Star break, it's not any easier. We got the Braves, the Blue Jays, and the Phillies again.
Mm-hmm.
So It's looking easy at one single bit until the All-Star break, or I mean, until the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And at what point,
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Turn on the radio and hear C-Mac saying, screw this, sell the team, and that's what
never.
The team. But, you know,
never.
Start selling these pieces off.
I doubt it very much. I mean, if they're 10 games back, I don't know. If they're at some point, that's why I'm talking about how important these games are. And it's not to say that the games after these games, after the All-Star game, aren't important, but I'm doing the show today. I'm talking about the near future. Yes, they're all important. I said leading into the trade deadline. And then in August, the schedule lightens up. They haven't played the White Sox yet. They get the White Sox twice in September. They get the Orioles more times in September. They get some of these worse. They get some of these lesser teams in September. But totally honest with you, I don't get so hung up on this stuff with the actual opponent too much, because we've seen it. The Yankees lost to the Angels. The Yankees lost to the Reds. Not that the Reds are a bad team. They're above 500. But, you know, when they're not playing well, they lose to everybody. They got to start playing well. And if they play well, they could beat people. So, they beat Seattle earlier in the year. They got to do it again. And I think the offense, at least, I do believe the offense is coming out of it. And Judge is back on track. And that is a huge element for this team. But, yeah, the whole month is important. Every game's important. But I'm talking about this specific that we are starting today. We are starting tonight a six-game homestand. These six games, while Toronto is playing the White Sox, they're important. These six games, the Yankees have to play well. You do not want to fall much further behind than 3.5. Wally in Oceanport. What's up, Wally?
Steve Mack, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
You are really juiced up. You have a great voice on the radio.
Oh, thank you.
You really do, and you're going to take me till 5 in the morning, I think. I'm a total Yankee fan, but if there was any year that I was going to give Brian Cashman a pass, he had his first starting two pitchers, okay, go down, and that was, Hamill.
After the Freed, it was their first and third starters, no doubt.
No, I'm sorry, yeah, but that was the Freed thing, okay, that's a one-off, okay, but the thing is that my only equivocation is that, okay, why don't you have LeMahieu playing third? Because he can play a fairly decent third base. Just keep Volpe at shortstop and then move, Jazz to his second base position. I just don't understand that.
Here's the thing. And again, I don't disagree with you. I would like to at least see it. They must really feel like DJ LeMahieu can't play third. I'm not sure why. I don't know if it's certainly not mobility, because second base demands more of it. But I don't know if it's his arm strength. I don't know what it is, but there's got to be something about not being, I went into this plan understanding it on some level, right? DJ's more comfortable at second. Jazz played really good at third base. Again, his numbers were excellent last year at third base. He wasn't just, he was fine there. He was excellent at third base last year. So
yes, I understand that.
So he was playing third, and let me finish, Wally. I'll let you finish.
I don't want you to cut me off.
Yep, no, I'm not going to. And then on top of that, the trade deadline is fickle. We just saw, I don't think it's accurate or is actually going to be a thing, but Ketel Marte was taken out of the lineup today for Arizona. It's probably an injury, but we don't know. If Ketel Marte becomes available, he's played all over the place, but he's played second base and he's more comfortable there. Whatever the trade deadline brings, you might have to be flexible. And to have Jazz comfortable again and playing a bunch of games and having someone who is comfortable and has games under his belt at third base made sense to me. So I understood the plan. I was on board with the plan. But now we've watched it for 2.5-3 weeks. And on top of it, Jazz has a sore shoulder. It no longer makes sense. And I don't understand why the Yankees aren't diverting from a plan when, okay, no one's, I wouldn't kill you. I know many people would kill them. I'm not going to kill you for the plan. The plan made sense, but it's failing. And you can't just stick with it while it's failing, obviously, on a nightly basis.
No, because if there was ever a year that I wasn't going to kill Brian Cashman, it would be this year. And the thing is, I know there's going to be adjustments and stuff like that. I love to see him get Bregman, okay? They're not going to get it because, you know, the Red Sox aren't going to trade him to the Yankees because, you know, but you understand that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't get Bregman.
But what I would like to see is I'd like to see Ben Rice at first base. And I like to see Wells, a catcher, but, you know, I think Ben Rice, I think he's a tremendous ball player. I think Volpe, okay, I think Volpe just needs to do his, his hitting, whatever, okay. He's a young kid. I just want to see him at shortstop. That's all I care about. I mean, like, you know, let him do his shtick.
Well, I don't know what his shtick means, and thanks for the call. I want to get to others before the break. He's got to be better defensively, too. He's not played a good shortstop this year. He just hasn't. I mean, especially over the last couple weeks. I've defended him. I think he has the ability to be a really good defensive shortstop. I think we've seen him be a really good defensive shortstop. It hasn't happened this year. Same thing with Jazz. I think he's got the ability to play third base. He was good last year. I had no problem with going back to Jazz at third base. But now you watch it, you can't stick with it. And when there's an easy fix, and you didn't ask him, you told him he was going to be the second baseman all year. You told him, don't worry about third base, you're back to second. And now it's clearly failed, and he's got a sore shoulder, make the throws easier for him. Again, I don't blame him. The last caller, you know, indicated again that it's their fault he's got a sore shoulder. He played the position last year. He's an infielder. They work for every. You either have the arm strength or you don't. The idea that it's inherently dangerous to play a guy who typically plays second base at third base is ridiculous. The throw isn't that bad. The throw is. It's just a matter of do you have the arm strength? It's not necessarily. Oh my God! It's so much pressure on the arm. His arm's gonna fall off. Nobody was saying. Oh my God! You can't play Jazz at third base. What if he gets injured? It's not their fault he's sore. It's not their fault his arm got hurt. Now, it's their fault for continuing to play him at third base if his arm's hurt. Lewis in Hamburg. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, what's going on, C-Mac? How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I can't complain. No, so I know everybody's talking about selling and trading and all this other mess. Now, I have a question for you. Because back in 2016... Cashman traded away Chapman and Miller, and he got a ransom back for Chapman and Miller. Why don't they try to do something like that, try to get rid of some good top pitching and see if he can get something in return to see if it's somewhat jolt something, you know, this year or whatever to try to see if something could happen or something magical, you know, into the All-Star break.
Now, I'm confused on what you're saying. You want to trade whom for what?
No, I wanted to see if they could trade, like, somebody, like, you know how we had Aroldis Chapman?
Yeah, they traded
Andrew Miller.
Yeah, that's selling. That's giving up on the season. You're not still expecting to win doing that.
Well, I understand that, but they also had a jolt going towards the end of the season.
Yeah, they had a jolt. They started to play a little bit better. They brought up Gary Sanchez. That was part of it, and he hit 20 home runs in like 45 games. I don't know. I don't think they have that guy right now. But no, that's not going to give them a jolt. Like they need their best players. They did that knowing full well they weren't going to win anything. When you trade away your two best relievers for prospects, you are waving the white flag that the season is over. That you can't. I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to do it. Now I know we can get to the idea of selling and buying, and you know we love playing Dominguez every day. So you could sell Trent Grisham, get something back, then just play Dominguez in left every day, and Bellinger in center every day, and I guess that's fine until someone gets hurt or like I don't know. I'm not selling any key piece that's been good this year. I'm chasing a championship, bottom line. 888-808-1019. I want to get into a little bit of Dominguez as well, because I find the idea that the Yankees are doing him a major disservice a little bit ridiculous. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break, update, come back. Ray, Neil, Robbie, Tommy. Quick, right back to the calls on the other side. McMonagle here with you on the Fan.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.